Hey everyone, welcome back to Rocking Your Bald Podcast. It's Jen, your favorite Nerdiqua, and this is season two. I am very excited, and I just want to take a moment and thank everyone who listened to season one. It was a great first season, definitely stepping out of my comfort zone. So everyone who took some time out of their schedule to listen to every episode, I just wanted to say thank you so much. I'm going to be starting season two, episode one, with my friend Diana Tukalau, who is here to chat with me about her story, how she lives the alopecia journey, and that, honestly, the concealer is fine. I hope you enjoy today's conversation. Let's get season two rocking and rolling.
One of the questions I always ask all of my guests on the show is, when did you and alopecia become best friends forever?
When I was 15. When I was 15, it was like a light switch. It just switched on and I was just like, all right, if you don't like me, that's your own fault. And it just so happened to be that way. I mean, I've always had a very strong independent mindset where I think I accepted myself already, but I always wondered why I was different, why I looked different, why I didn't have hair, like all these random thoughts that we have as alopecians. I'm just like, I finally got to that age and I don't know exactly still to this day what it was, but it was just like a light switch. And I was just like, all right, if you don't like me, that's your own fault. And I really stopped paying attention to people that were staring and all those random comments or the whispers in the grocery store. It just stopped bothering me. And that's when I got like that tunnel vision of just not really paying attention to people outside. But yeah, I feel like that was the turning point and I never really went back. And I stopped asking myself those questions about why you didn't have hair. I kind of just accepted it at that point, you know?
Yeah, because we have no control over it. Do you think it has to do with upbringing and the environment you were in with your family?
Yeah, I talked to Christy about this, but my mom has always been like a very strong head of it. She never was against me wearing wigs or having the makeup or doing these things, but I was always brought up as like, this is who God is and that's how God made you and it's okay to be different. You know, she never emphasized like, oh, you don't have hair or you're ugly. Like those things were never an opinion from her. And I grew up primarily with my mom and I was the only kid at home, I think by like 7 or 8. So it was just me and her, you know, so we were so used to bonding and she just always had that mentality. And I kind of just took to it. And then once you're surrounded by it all the time, it just becomes you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was just really the takeaway from it. And I mean, even on my wedding day, she was like, you're not going to do all that makeup and lashes and all these things, right? And she's like, it would feel weird because that's not the way your husband met you either. And I'm just like, no, I'm not. I mean, I did makeup, but I didn't do any falsies or I didn't even do eyebrows at that point. I still don't. So I feel like it's just who I am. And personally, I think I just don't do it because I feel like I'm beautiful the way I am and then I don't need to do that. And I still have that mentality where I'm just like, this is who I am. It is what it is kind of thing. I mean, you look at me now and my eyebrows are kind of growing in and I'm just like, okay, figure it out.
I noticed that when you hopped on. I was like, does she get brows?
Yeah. No, it's so weird because they do that every couple of years. Like they come and then they go, but
yeah.
This one's like almost all the way down. And then this one just grows like halfway. I don't know. Can you figure out if you're coming or going?
Like, can you please decide? Stay on my face or leave my face?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird because now I feel like this one's to the point that I feel like, do I need to fill it in? Do I not need to fill it in? I don't know. I don't even waste time doing that anymore. I'm just like, concealer. It's time.
You should put that on a t-shirt, B. Concealer, it's fine.
Concealer, it's fine. Yeah.
No, I think with me, when I joined our community that we're both in now, I had a moment where I thought to myself, I wonder if I would have done microblading if I had been in this group, if I would have just left it blank. Because I've had moments where I thought about getting the microblading removed and doing more of a look. You have a more natural look, and then still doing the brow makeup when I want to. For my personal journey, I still am working through insecurities with the look of being completely bare.
Yeah.
And how different that is. But then I love what you said, that you accepted that you were different and you navigated that. What was school like for you? Did you encounter bullying growing up?
Oh, yeah, girl. Grade school was awful.
Middle school, no joke.
Yeah. Well, once I transitioned to, like, I think 7th grade, which was really weird because from 1st grade till 5th grade, even 6th grade, I was with all of the same classmates. It was never any different. You know what I mean? Like, kids come and go from different schools and move around. But for a majority of it, I was with the same people.
Wow.
It was still awful. I don't know if it was just the neighborhood or what it was, but you had that handful of kids that would always stick up for you.
Okay.
But yeah, bullies, name calling, it was just a thing. I feel like no matter how old you are, the years that change, the century that we're in, it doesn't matter. Kids are always going to be bullies. And I'm a huge advocate of teach your kids to be appropriate. You know, don't let them stare. Don't let them say rude things. These are things that people can control if they talk to their kids and have these conversations. Like, people are different. People are in wheelchairs. People don't have hair. People are different colors. People have different mannerizations. People have different upbringings. That's just humanity, right? Like,
right.
That's normal, and we should teach our kids that. So then it's not awkward, or our kids don't have trouble getting along with different people because there are different people in this world like us, and we should feel accepted. But at 7th grade, I ended up switching halfway through to a different school. And yeah, for whatever reason, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be, which is maybe another reason why I accepted myself shortly after that.
So that happened after you transitioned to a new school.
Yeah, because then, I mean, you go all the way out to high school and you graduate like 18. I mean, we transitioned to 7th grade and then 8th grade, and that was at the same school. And then we had promotion, and then I went into high school and graduated when I was 16. So yeah, I think when you transition to high school, you're like, what, 15?
Around there, yeah. You exit,
yeah.
You go in around 15 or 16, depending when you were born, the year you fall in, and then you are definitely out by 18.
Yeah, I was in high school for 2 years, and I went to alternative fast-paced, and it was not necessarily fast-paced, but self-paced, and I ended up graduating in a year and a half or 2 years, and I was done with high school by the time I was 16. It was the later year of 16. Yeah, because I graduated in a December area timeframe instead of in May when everybody else does. So
you're just a smart lady. You're like, I'm out, people.
If I would have went to college then, I wouldn't be in college now. So I mean, it takes you through experience. I don't regret anything in life. I do not. But that, yeah, if I would have gone to high school, or if I would have gone to college right after high school, I would have been done. But I think that I was young and I didn't exactly know what I wanted to do. And then maybe I wouldn't have loved what I was doing then, you know, kind of going into it.
No, I agree, because with me, I went from high school right into college, but then I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I struggled going through college just because I didn't see the point of it. And I feel, what would have it looked like if I just took a couple years off, got a part-time job for a little while? Because when you think about it, when you graduate high school, you've been in school for 12 years.
Yeah.
Whenever I get married and have kids one day, I'm going to tell my kids, listen, you just got done with 12 years of school. you don't have to go to college right away. You can take a break, but you do need to get a part-time job. That's it.
Yeah.
Take a break. Play video games. Don't read any books. Watch movies, but get a part-time job.
Yeah.
And then when you're ready to go to school, we'll talk about it. Unless you want to go right now, fine. But I think I would have done better if I hadn't gone straight away and waited for a little bit.
Yeah.
And did what you did, just because those beginning years of college for me, they were rough.
Yeah. Not only that, but I think, like you said, if you really hone in on it, you do go to school for 12 years. And then if you think about it, like your first and second year of college, what do people do? They just drink and party and hang out and mess around. And then some people stay after 2 years and finish 4 years if they go to university or something. And you just, yeah, you just never know. It's just, I don't regret it at all, because again, I feel like I wouldn't have fell in love with healthcare in that aspect and had so much different experiences that have led me to where I am now, that I can give my heart in that way, because I have had so much experience. I don't think that it would have been the same at 16, 17, 18, maybe even 19.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I'm more passionate and more driven now than I would have been then, you know?
It's also the way we mature in those years, the way our POV changes over time. We're not going to see the same things at 19, 20, the way we see things now.
Yeah. Yeah. But to go back to answer your question, sorry, we kind of got stirred away with school.
You're good.
The kids in grade school were just awful. And I dealt with all the bullying and all the name calling. And it was never physical, although emotional and verbal abuse are just as bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then seventh grade, when we switched and I got a different set of students, it was totally fine. And I felt like everybody was like a little more accepting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helped too, because I ended up going to school with two of my cousins. And that took me along, because I knew that I was already accepted from them. You know,
yeah.
I was already accepted and loved, and that was my family, my blood, something that people couldn't change. So maybe that made it a little bit easier, because the years before that, I was in school with them.
That makes sense, because you're with people you can trust. You were more yourself than you would be probably without them.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I switched schools in seventh grade, I'm still friends with some of those people on like social media and stuff, whether we talk or not. You know, I'm still grateful for them and the things that we had back then. It was definitely an experience being somebody different, but they never treated me like I was different, which was the benefit of it, because sometimes you get so scared and the students don't know, or kids don't know that, again, accepting people for being different, that they almost treat you as if you're a disease. Like, don't touch that. You might get that afraid. You know what I mean? Because they don't know any better. And you have to explain to them, this is not contagious. It's not, you know, anything that you can contract. I'm completely normal. I'm completely healthy. I literally just don't grow hair.
See, and this is why for me, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, I don't like it when I hear the alopecia community where people say this is a disease. No, it's not. It's just a hair condition.
Yeah. Because,
so what you said, this is not spreadable. I can't touch someone. I can't hug someone. Anyone I give kisses in my family to, they're not going to contract this from contact or any other way. It's just a condition where our immune system says we are no longer in the hair production business because it is overrated.
I agree. And it's funny that you say that, because when I talk about it or somebody will ask me about it and I'll go more specific into details or medical aspect of it, I leave that disease portion out. I will just really say it's autoimmune, because to me it is autoimmune. I don't feel like a disease. I don't feel like I'm contracting it. And from the history of it and the way people say like, oh, it's genetic, it's hereditary, or you can just get it and develop it. I do believe that you can get it and develop it. But what about this hereditary genetic thing? Nobody else in my family has it.
Same with me. I'm the only one.
Yeah. And my dad's family alone is well over 300 people. There's nobody on his side of the family that has it. And there's nobody on my mom's side of the family that has it. That's like maybe a handful of what my dad has. So it's so confusing because when we went to Balturaj, then I saw my first ever mom and daughter duo.
Wow.
And to me, I was like, that's alopecia. That's genetic or hereditary right there. I've never seen that before. But before that, I would be like, no, I don't know genetic, hereditary, where, how, from somebody that I've never even met before. It's so confusing. But yeah, I definitely leave the disease aspect out of it. I tell people it's autoimmune. My body attacks its own hair follicles and I don't grow any hair. You know, when you break it down to somebody that doesn't really know what's going on with you, like that's what I have. I don't emphasize disease at all. I don't really like that either because I don't like the way it sounds and I don't like the way maybe the word disease makes people feel.
Yeah, because I actually asked this to some of my best friends just to get their opinion, asking them, when you hear the word disease, what comes to your mind? And because of what we just been through, they're like, well, I think of COVID. And then I think of cancer, and then I think of this, and they just named different things. And I said, would you think alopecia is a disease knowing me? No, we don't think that at all. So I don't understand why certain people, whether they're in the community or not, why people would associate disease with it when it's not.
Yeah. And I think it's because if you Google it, I think it automatically associates it with that.
Oh,
let's look. But I think that's what it is. And then
yeah, I haven't looked at that.
Yeah. And I think that's why people automatically say that. I mean, if you type in just the specifics like areata, it only brings up like treatment cannot cure this condition.
Okay.
This condition cannot be cured, but it doesn't say. And they might have changed it, too. But I do know that when it popped up before, if you searched it, it said specific, like, autoimmune disease. So maybe that's the way that they were partaking it, is the way that they were researching it.
That makes sense, because I know you can understand this being in the medical field. It's easy to make that assumption with the information that's out there when they look at it. Oh, so this is a disease. Well, no, it's not, because you can't spread it. You hit on something before. It's what I really wanted to talk about with you, because your story and journey is so different compared to others. I wanted to talk to you about toxicity in the alopecia community. First and foremost, do you think there is toxicity in the alopecia community?
I think it depends on like what are we talking, just in general, in the neighborhood, worldwide, maybe. I'm not sure. I think it depends. It depends on who's there.
One of the things I've noticed over the years, I have witnessed how insecurities can pop up in different ways. And sometimes that can lead to toxicity unintentionally and intentionally. So do you think that there's this unintentional toxicity in the community as how we use products like wigs and lashes to where there's a danger point where we're not being authentic in how the way we look is what I'm trying to get at.
I've always felt indifferent, and I think that I feel indifferent personally, and I never project that. I think that personally, me myself, and again going back to a conversation that I had with Christy, I am the opposite, because like you said, my upbringing has been different. I have never worn wigs. And I always look at the people that do try them and I'm like, man, maybe one day or maybe one era, I will just be this wig woman. And I'm not. I am not. I will tell you right now, I am not. I fear what they do for sure. So people that can do it double and do wigs and be bald, you know, Chloe and there's this other girl that I follow from, I think she lives in Australia, but they kill it. They can do both. However, D cannot. D gets anxiety. D gets fearful. Dee cannot go out in this world with a wig on without having the immense amount of anxiety that I think that people have when they have to take their wigs off and they hide behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is very different. So I think, again, I don't project it. But if you're hiding from alopecia, that can then become toxic, because I think that you're personally accepting yourself, and to each their own, right? This is just my opinion.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do it. That's just me though. But then I also come into the group fully natural the way I am. And I'm just like, I might be very different from people, and it might just be the upbringing. Like you said, my mom is very authentic, and she doesn't believe in any of that stuff because she believes that God made you the way that you are, and you're beautiful the way that you are. It doesn't matter how you look.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I definitely have an indifferent opinion about it. Girls that can do it, wonderful. Girls that hide from it, I don't know. I feel like maybe, you know, they have more searching to do for themselves and soul searching. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like the real true balance is what's our girl's name? She's part of Baltrash.
Crystal?
Yes. Oh my God. She's like the perfect balance. Now that she's ripped off that wig, girl, she can
do it. You don't want to wear them no more. She's like, I'm done.
Yes.
You don't want to wear them no more.
I love that for her so much, but it was a comfortability thing for her. She loved it because it was her security blanket at work. And then once she ripped it off, exactly like you said, she doesn't even care anymore. But if she wanted to do both, she could do both. And I love that for her. I love that for her. But yeah, I don't really know if I answered your question, but I do kind of feel indifferent, but I don't project it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely think that it could be toxic because there is so many different things that you could do and alter yourself nowadays that does affect other people and how they perceive you. And that was one of my biggest things about being authentic too. I never wanted to meet my husband and have to explain how I was about to take off this wig, and I wasn't going to be who I was going to be when I met him. That was
that right there.
Yeah. That was my biggest thing. I didn't want to fear that and having to feel like I had to expose myself to be somebody who I wasn't. That gave me fear. So I just never did it. And maybe that's why I don't do it now. I think maybe like two or three wigs. I've put them on and put makeup on, and then I've sent him pictures, and then he's like, well, I really like that one. Or I really like that one too. But taking it outside of the house, that builds a tremendous amount of anxiety that I'm just not willing to deal with right now.
I completely agree with what you just said, because my upbringing was a little bit different. My mom was a single mom, so it was just me and my mom. So I get that, the ride or die with your mama, because mm-hmm. I'm a bear, don't play.
Same.
And I actually dealt with, too, excessive bullying growing up, but then I still had hair and I just still had my patches. So my mom's perspective was, with the hair pieces and the wigs that I did, it was just to make sure that I was protected and that I wasn't going to get attacked from people. But I went through, with my personality and the way she was, a strong Puerto Rican woman. You know how those are.
Yes. Yes.
Me raised by her. I went through those phases very quickly, but then I have those exact same feelings you just explained. I felt I wasn't being honest. This is just my perspective. I felt like that I wasn't being honest because I have the same thoughts that whenever I meet my husband, I want him to know out the gate, this is it. No wigs, no lashes. Yes, I still do eyebrows and I did microblading, but I want to be authentic as possible. And I think that's helped me to accept this hair condition that I've been living with since I was a kid, taking that perspective of, you know what? I may not like it all the time. I may not like how I look all the time. And again, I know that stems from my insecurities and childhood trauma that I've dealt with. But I also want to be authentic with the way I look. And that's how I want to show up and present myself.
And I love that because that's the one thing that I strive for every single day. And it doesn't matter if it's with looks or how I present myself. The number one thing is I always want people to know that I'm genuine mm-hmm. and that 100% of the quality that I put forward, no matter what it is always authentic. And I run with that. I literally run with that. And that's what I love the most about it. I never leave myself enough time to get completely ready. Like I said, concealer and go. I do my thing and then I go. And I like it like that. I was just telling my girlfriend the other day, in my future, if I get pregnant and then my hormones start to change and my hair starts growing, which I hope, knock on wood, that doesn't happen just for my own self. But I don't know what I would do. I literally don't know what I would do if I grew a full head of hair and had to shave my legs and do all these things that I've never had to do before. I would just be the girl that would be running around with a hair bun all the time, like a messy bun all the time, because I'm like, I don't even make enough time for that now. I can shower and be ready in less than 15 minutes.
Literally, we have the choice to either get up and go or take a little bit of time and do the makeup and put a little extra on it if we want to. That's interesting because since I've had hair before, I've thought about that too. One day when I start having children and how my body might change. I know for me, I'm just going to keep my hair buzzed. I do not want to go through the season of having my hair grow back, starting to do styles and cute things. And then once I'm done having children, my body goes, and we're done with hair. I'm reliving through that trauma of great.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that is a fear for me and why I will choose not to let my hair grow. If that does happen, just keeping it buzzed and keeping it clean. I don't want to relive that trauma again. But then it's interesting what you said, because you've never had that experience. You wouldn't know what to do with hair.
I mean, I do know what to do with hair. I have 6 younger siblings and 5 of those girls are girls. So when it comes down to doing the hair thing, I got it. Like, when they were younger, I was constantly braiding their hair. I was constantly keeping it up. I was constantly doing the stuff that I did. The same with my sister's daughters. And the same with my cousin's kid now. You know, when I went back home for the 3.5 weeks, I was showering her. I was doing all the stuff. And then I was the one who would do her hair. And my cousin even got so used to it that she was like, she's clean. Can you do her hair? I'm so used to that. But like having to make the time for myself. And doing that and trying to be cute and do all these things, like that is, to me, is just a whole life adjustment that I haven't had in 34 years. Like, why am I going to do it now?
Yeah.
You know, like that's, yeah, I don't know how I would do that. Like, the thought of it, I'm just like, I hope that that doesn't happen. But I see, you know, you see all the alopecias and the stories on Insta that they are having babies and their hair grows back, and it might be a little bit of both. Yeah, you might like get it and then lose it, or have the baby and then lose it again because your hormones are doing whatever it's doing.
Yeah,
I don't know. Girl, I don't know. But I know I'm not ready for that. That would be weird. Like, give me my eyelashes, give me my eyebrows, but this whole mane, because I'm half Tongan too. And so I have all my...
Oh, man.
They have manes. They have manes. It's thick. It's long. It's down your back. It's everywhere. That's one of my biggest pet peeves when people stay at my house. I don't want hair everywhere. Like, if you, whatever, wash this thing out. Clean the shower drain. Do what you gotta do. Just don't leave it in my house.
That's a perk of alopecia, that all the hair that's everywhere, it's not yours. You could be like, you clean it. That's not
I always joke with my husband, like, every time, like, if there's a wig or something or just something random, I'd be like, whose hair is this? Because it ain't mine.
Oh, God. I mess with people at work.
Yeah.
If I were a poker player, this would be the hand I would give and win every time. I have 2 of those things. So when I hear the women at work complain about their hair, or I go in it's just random. Someone is who's cleaning up their desk going, oh my gosh, whose hair is this? It's mine.
Yes. No, I'm that one too. I'm that one too.
And it's funny that you say that too, because me and you, I feel like even since the day that we met on Baltourage, we have just always been in sync. One, we always have the same opinion. We always speak from the same light. It's just been very mutual between us. But the thing about it, I think we had one conversation one time in one of the meetings that was like, if you make fun of it or hone in on that or joke too much, that it's like a default for yourself, kind of not validating like who you are. And I don't know if I agree with that, because I feel like that's my humor and I feel you get where I come from too, because I have the same experiences all the time too. And I think that it enlightens the situations that you have to be in every single day to not make it so awkward. And I was at clinical the other day and we were stepping in the elevator and I was with two people that I knew, one of my classmates and one of my clinical leaders, and the doors were closing and somebody had dropped one of their scrunchies. And the girl goes, oh, you dropped your scrunchie. And I looked at her and said, girl, not me. That to me is just natural. Like, that's my natural, authentic comeback.
Yeah.
I don't
do more of them too.
Yeah, no, I'm like, I don't do it because I'm insecure. I do it because I think it's funny. And
It's school.
Yeah, I like to see people's reactions and laugh. And if you don't, you know, I love to laugh. I'm just like this build of a person that I like to make life a lot easier than it should be, because we have it hard. We do. We have it hard. Life every single day is not easy. So yeah. Again, I don't think that I necessarily agree with that. I don't think that I'm hiding from anything or that I'm not validating who I am. I think I just do it out of pure funniness. That's what I like. I like pure humor.
I'm the same way. And I don't agree with that notion at all. I think it shows the strength we have to call it like it is. Because another thing I do, and it doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, I always slide it in. This happened actually with a vendor that came into my company. I work in the facilities department in human resources. I have to work with a lot of different vendors. So we had this one vendor come in, was doing an update that we needed in the office. And he's like, Jen, I know I keep coming to you for these questions. I'm like, well, that's why I'm here. I'm your point of contact. Ask me all the questions you want. What you got? And he kept going and going and going and going. And he says, listen, just one more thing and I'm going to get out of your hair. Oh, I don't have any.
Yes, I love that. Yes, I do that too.
And then his coworker was like, and then my coworker sitting next to me goes, that's bad. I'm like, what? What? It's me. I made the joke. Everyone can laugh. And I'm like, jabbed him in the shoulder, like, laugh, go ahead. It's amazing.
It's insane.
It's And then when I hear women complain about, oh, my hair this, my hair that, oh, I know how you feel. Mine's so unmanageable right now.
Yeah, I love that. Especially when they're like, oh, I just got mine colored and dyed and the extensions and blah. I'm like, yeah, me too.
Oh, you know what I do? Once in a while, I'll get henna crowns.
You'll get what?
Henna crowns.
What's that?
You don't know what
henna crown. Oh, yeah.
So I don't do it too often just because it's expensive. But when I do, and I usually will get it done on the weekend because of the process to get the darkness that I want. I love it when people will ask me, hey, Jen, what are you going to go do this weekend? I'm going to go get my hair done. Like, what? You'll see on Monday.
Yes. Yeah. I think I get my dark humor too from my mom. So my mom, I think, would do it for the reasons too. She'd kind of lighten the situation by making jokes. And
yeah,
I think when I was younger, before that turning point, I would take it a little more sensitive, but the repetition of it, I think, got me a little more used to it. Mm-hmm. And then I was okay with it after that. So that might have been, you know, where I also get my dark humor about. I don't like to take it too serious just because alopecia is what it is. It's out of our control. We can't control it. And the best thing I can do is have fun with it. And if that's the best thing, then that's the best thing. I mean, for God's sakes, I was, what's the guy at the uncle's name? Uncle Fester off of the Addams Family. One Halloween, like, fun with it. Yeah, it was fun. Why can't I do all these different bald costumes that other people can't do? That was hilarious. That was by far still my favorite Halloween costume ever.
Okay, that's I'm a professor. And I did nothing. I did like literally nothing special about it either. I did the makeup.
And then I wore my husband's collared shirt and just buttoned it to the top.
And, oh my gosh.
And I carried around the light bulb that he does in my pocket. And girl, it was the best thing ever. Cheapest and best costume ever.
Oh my gosh. I think there was someone else in our community who dressed up as Gru from Minions.
Robin?
I think yeah. so. I think it was Robin.
She did good. Again, just using it in the best way that you can. That was great. Yeah. I love that too. She looked amazing. Killed it.
So killed it. And then that's another thing about us being bald women. It's a blank canvas. We have so much freedom and liberty. We don't have to put these restraints on us once we come to this place of acceptance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's another reason why I love it. I remember when I went to a Renaissance fair and I wanted to get my face painted. And I did. I told the artist, hey, if you want to go in the scalp, you can. And all the other artists were like, I so envy you right now as she's painting on me. I told her the one I like, but I told her she could get creative and do whatever she wanted. And she went to town.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll have to share the pictures if you took pictures.
I do. And it's funny about that one. The Renaissance Fair I went to in New York, it's well known. It's in Tuxedo, New York. It always happens in October. I lived in Florida for a time and then moved back up to New York with my mom. And that was the Renaissance Fair when I was a kid. I always went to with them every year. The artist who did my face was the same artist who did me when I was 5.
Oh.
Then the whole day, my mom was like, why do I recognize that woman? Why is she familiar to me? She would not let it go. I'm like, Ama, I don't know. Why do you keep bringing it up? She's like, it's bothering me that I know this woman. I'm like, I don't know what to tell.
Yeah.
We're at the jousting match, human chess. Who is that? Which again? And then we finally get home and she's ripping out all the picture boxes and just going through pictures. I'm like, you know what? No. And then all of a sudden, as I'm making dinner, I hear, what? I stopped it. And she found the picture of the same woman when I was 5. I never recognized her. Look. She shoves the picture into
my head. Oh.
Yeah, it was really interesting that and ironically, was that the? Yeah, I think that was the last Renaissance we went to for a couple of years. And then I happened to get the same woman. I haven't gone back, but I want to go back and bring the picture with me to see if she's going to be like, by the way, this is you.
Oh. So, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that was a fun time. Anyway, to get back to what we were talking to, I feel sometimes what we're talking about being authentic, that I think that there is this line in the sand that these things that they're not to knock them. They're great to have, especially if you want to play up with different looks and have fun. I'm all for that. Be you, do you, whatever that is. But I hope that most of the people in our community are not doing it to what you said earlier to hide, because one of the things I was actually talking to Crystal about was, what if we put a PSA out there for Alopecia Awareness Month to tell everyone, don't wear a wig for a month? What would the reaction be? Would they be all for it? Or would there be some pushback?
I know, you know, when I met Avery during the Balturage in-person event in LA, we all had the conversation with her about not wearing wigs. You know, and the first time that we had met her was bald. She came to the gathering and the event bald, and she said like she's never been out like that before. And Amber helped her along the way, which was amazing.
Wow.
Then she was like, Crystal, when I'm ready, I'm ready, and I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to rip it off, and I'm not going to wear the Band-Aid anymore. And she does that. I know she made her own page of, you know, when she doesn't have hair, and then she does both. And I get it. I get the context behind wearing the wigs and the things when people live in different climates like you. I do get that. New York gets cold. It snows and does all the things. In California, not so much. It still gets cold here, but I'm still like during the winter wearing beanies and wearing head wraps. But you bet you, if it gets hot wherever I am, I'm taking that thing off. It's not a Band-Aid for me. And I do agree. I think people should not hide behind it. And one thing that you brought up earlier, which is what I really, really love about Abby, is that she does the eyebrows every single day. And that's what she says, because maybe eventually she'll take up a different technique, or she might want to wear it a little bit different. She might want to wear it like a little more flat or a little more archy, or depending on what type of Halloween costume she's going to do. She always can do it different, and she would never lean more towards something permanent because she has that. And I think it takes practice, but she's amazing at it. Like, I cannot do eyebrows like her. And believe me, I try. But I do not do eyebrows like her. But I love Abby because she does the whole makeup industry and artsy stuff that really emphasizes who she is. But she never wears anything on her head.
No. And if she does, it's only because she paints it on with her artistry.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the Halloween costumes or whatever. Now that I think about that, though, I don't think that any of her Halloween costumes have had like actual hair.
I don't think so either.
No. Like, she did the Angelica look, and then she did.
I love that. Nickelodeon Golden Age. I was like, what a pickle.
Yes. Yes. And the other one, the Chucky doll, I think that one she might have had a hair piece for, but I don't think any of the costumes, and again, emphasizing who we are and how beautiful we are, we can do things that people can't. And yeah. I think that a lot of people should hone in on that. If you don't have to wake up every day and wear a wig, why do it?
That's my perspective. My hope is for anyone who loves to play with the looks. And again, I'm not going to knock it. I hope it's coming from a place where you're not hiding and you're afraid to be authentic, because then my question is, well, how can I, as someone walking this alopecia journey, can support you to encourage you to get to that point? What are we not doing to support wherever they are in the journey to feel that comfort to know, hey, you can do this. Yeah, it messes with your head, but that freedom and being more authentically you, whatever that means for you, is so freeing. And I would love to see you walk in that strength.
Yeah. And I think that we've made huge impact on people that do come to the meetings, because we've seen so many people be that authentic self without having to wear the wigs, you know, and I can't remember her name, but she did it recently, and we had this whole discussion about it, and she loved Abby, and I invited her to Balterage wine night, and she came, and literally a few weeks later, she finally took off her wig, and she hasn't been doing it since. And I love that for her. Every now and then, she's like, I can put on a different hat if I want to. I will wear this color. And that's just because she emphasized, I do that because some of them have colors and I want to be a different person this day, or I want to feel this way. And that's just who I am. That's what I like to do. And that I'm okay with that. But I agree. I don't think that people should necessarily do it continuously every single day. If that's somebody that, if this blank canvas is somebody that they're hiding from, how we can help uplift them to not do that, to not hide who they are. And I think that it's hard, though. I think having conversations with people in the meetings and then having conversations about myself, I think, are two different aspects of how I have to treat the spectrum, because I don't know what it's like to be 24, 25, 26, 17 and lose my hair and stop looking at that person in the mirror that I thought I used to know. And now I feel like a stranger to myself. I don't know what that feels like.
Yeah,
I think that's where that whole balance comes in, where I feel indifferent about it, but I don't project it. Like, you can be yourself, but I hope that you're authentic.
I think for me, with my journey and when I lost my hair, Facebook reminded me of a picture that I took 15 years ago yesterday with two of my cousins. And it was the first time I went out bald and with my family, and it was 15 years ago. I had alopecia areata, so I had the hair falling out, coming back for years, and coming to that point where looking at myself in the mirror every day was just so drastic at times, and watching your hair fall out, what it does to you. But then, so I do understand that and how there's this idea of, well, I just want to be normal. I just want to look normal. I just want to, there's just this normalcy that I want to get back. I think that's another thing too, that there's a struggle with, and I'm just speaking from my own journey on that, where the only way to get any type of normalcy is walking through that change and realizing not having control over it is scary. There are things to help you navigate it, but don't let it become to the point where you solely depend on it, that you're hiding.
Yeah, yeah.
And that you're afraid to be who you really are, and maybe the person you really are, you don't know yet, and that scares you.
Yeah, yeah.
I am thinking about that more. What can I do to help others, to encourage them to walk in their truth and feel comfortable doing it, no matter what season of this that they're in?
Yeah. And I think that you already do that. I know we touched on it earlier in the conversation about you maybe still walking through your own journey and wanting to find your authentic self. But I've seen you numerous of times hold your hand out to people that are in your area and haven't gone out without the wig or don't know any bald people. And you're just out there like, all you got to do is take my hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it makes me emotional. We meet so many people that don't have that, you know? Like, I met a girl out here in my area too, and I love her. Tay, I feel like she's one of the most beautiful people I've ever met. And she's a cosmetologist. So she does the whole hair cutting and styling and nails. She does it all. Makeup, whatever.
Wow.
When I first met her, I had met this lady in the mall. And I'm actually the face of her company. She does these things that are like, I forget what they're called. I have the worst memory. This is what lack of sleep does to you. But she has these hats and they added real natural hair on them.
Mm.
And I advertised for her company as her face. And I met her and then she introduced me to Tay because we did like a photo shoot thing.
Yeah.
For her company. And when I got out of the car, we're both thinking the same thing. Damn, she's hella beautiful. And then when we started speaking to each other, we said the exact same thing. And ever since then, we've been friends. But she was in that same spectrum. She lost her hair and then didn't really know how to identify herself anymore.
Yeah.
And didn't know who she was. Because she was part of that industry already, she knew how to do all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd wear these wigs and not take them off. And girl, now she can't keep them on.
And I love that for her because
that impact that
we
have really led her in that direction. Like, it's okay to be who you are and accept who you are and do the things too. And mm-hmm. I love that for her because she does do both. She does wig sometimes, but she majority of the time doesn't have anything on. She completely goes out bald. And she tells me, I don't think I would have made it, you know, this far if I never met you, kind of thing. And I love that for her. And I always love to emphasize and reach out to people on Insta. Like, if you're ever struggling with it, please reach out to us. Reach out to these people that don't even feel like they're not confident. But I love that. And I love that for you. And I think that you're a lot further in your journey of acceptance and in your own insecurities and stuff that you were really honing in on. I think you're a lot further than you really acknowledge.
My therapist tells me that all the time.
Seriously. No, it's true because you really honed in on a lot of things that you feel like you're insecure about, but then you talk about them in a different mannerization and we have discussions about it. And I think maybe it's just something that you're working through too. And you haven't put the plug in that outlet yet, but that's okay. You're further than you are along, whether you see it that way or not. I think you are. I've always admired you for sure. And every time Jen, I'm like, yes, Jen's coming to the group.
Thank you so much for that. My therapist is going to love hearing all this. Like, you see.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a third party. That's why we go to therapy, right? Marriage, couples, whatever. Sometimes it takes that other person to be like.
Everyone needs to invest in therapy. Every single person. If you hear nothing else, please invest in therapy. Reorganize your finances. It's worth it. It's not voodoo, hocus pocus, none of that.
It's not somebody that you can talk to that's going to help you work through your problems, but not tell everybody.
Yeah, like if you ever want that one person that keeps all of your deepest, darkest secrets and you know that you know that you know that you know they're not going to say anything, it's a therapist.
And guess what? HIPAA is a real thing. So even if they did go tell somebody.
Oh, yeah. HIPAA. Don't mess with that.
Yes.
I remember when I was in another support group before I joined Balturage, and we were doing a meeting about mental health, and they said, Jen, do you think your therapist would come on? And I said, let me reach out to her and talk to her. I don't think she'll have a problem, but let me have that dialogue first. And we had to go through HIPAA. She's like, I'll do it, but let's talk about you and me. And we had to work through that whole thing. So that's a thing.
Yeah, it definitely is a thing. I mean, even elevator conversations, core conversations, you think you're alone. You never know you're alone. You never know who you're standing next to. You know, when people, even in the medical field, take their work to lunch with them and then they're in the cafeteria and they're saying these small things. I'm like, girl, you don't know if you're standing behind the family, the cousins, the aunt, the uncle. You don't know in that straight HIPAA. Yeah. And you can't do that. You can't do that in any type of environment. What you have and you hone in on and you respect, you have to protect, especially in the healthcare field, because you never know. You literally never know. And they can get you for that right off the bat.
No questions asked in that regard.
Yeah.
It was violated.
But I feel bad too, because some people, you know, as working in the medical industry, like you need somewhere to decompress. And I don't necessarily mean talk about your patients and stuff, but sometimes you have a rough day. Like Thursday night was rough. You know what I mean? I was dealing with it. I didn't sit down until 12:30. And
wow,
that I want to sit down. But like, you have no time to decompress and be there. And so many different things happen during your shift. And you continuously put that aside because we're there to take care of patients and do the things and
serving.
Yeah. When do you get time for yourself? You know what I mean? So you do have to find that balance on where you decompress, who you decompress to. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily have to use age and names and all these things. You know, don't do it around people in the environments because, yeah, HIPAA is a thing.
Big thing.
Hey. Oh, my goodness.
So another thing I wanted to ask you is, what three words of encouragement or a word of encouragement would you give someone that's either new to the alopecia journey right now or has been in it for a minute and it's just like, I don't know where to go from here?
I mean, I have a lot of different words.
And he was out of them.
I have a lot of different words, but I would definitely say that the number one thing is to reach out. You know, reach out to people like us, anybody, whether it's me, you, Crystal, Christy, anybody that has been going through this that can help you and enlighten and encourage. And I think a lot of people get discouraged because they don't have people around that encourage them. Mm. And they need that outlet in that aspect because they might feel afraid. They might feel embarrassed. They're scared. You know, and I think that that's okay. I think that that's okay that we really need to hone in on who we are and own it, own who you are and accept the changes that people bring you to. And like my mom says, I like to push on other people too. This is the way God made me. and I wouldn't be this beautiful and I wouldn't be this person that I am and I wouldn't be as authentic as I am if I didn't be exactly who I was put in this world to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the biggest takeaway too. It's like we work through acceptance different, but it makes it easier if you're not doing it alone.
Yeah.
You know, show up to the groups and have these discussions and reach out to people and just do the things that inquire work to work on yourself, and know that they're not alone. They're for surely not alone. I didn't know that there was this many bald women in the world, because I'll tell you, before I joined Baltourage, I like to be the only bald woman in the room. And if there was anybody else that was bald that was there with me, I was like, who is she? Why she ain't got no hair? Why can't I be the light? Like, why do I have to share this?
Why can't I just be the only one in the room that's El Naturel? Why did she come up and ruin my vibe?
Share the room with you. It was a changing point when I walked into Baltourage's event and everybody was bald. And I was like, I'm not alone.
I'm not alone.
And it was like a different feeling. It was a mix of feeling. I was really happy that I wasn't the only one, because I knew that they were all feeling the exact same thing that I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was still like, I'm selfish. This is something that is me. I love this. I own it. And this is me. This is who I am. But I'm sharing it with so many different people. It gave you a different outlook for sure. And it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel different, and it makes you feel accepting. So yeah, just the encouragement. You're not alone. Reach out to people. It's okay to be yourself.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. I mean, any change is not easy. Girl, going to a new job, changing a car, like, you know, changing your wardrobe,
going to a new grocery store because the other grocery store closed down, which means you have to drive a whole different direction because it's out of the way, but then there's no other grocery stores, so you need to eat.
Exactly. Going to a different store, taking a different route home, gassing your car at a different gas station. Like, it's different. Everything is different. Nobody is going to be the same. And that's okay. That's okay.
And you know what? I love what you just said, too. There's so many things that I want to echo. But then one of the things you just said was not everything is going to be the same. And that's the same thing for people who still have hair. They go through changes, too. They just don't have to think about this component.
Yeah.
They still go through change. They still go through the different seasons of life, because life be life thing for everybody. So everyone deals with change. And some of it, yeah, is scary. It is scary, especially when you are confronted.
Yeah.
And you have to make that decision. I'm either going to pivot and keep going forward, or I will stay stagnant. So,
yeah. And one of the things that you said earlier, too, was that when you lost your hair and then you were looking at the situation and really having that face-to-face connection with yourself in the mirror, that you realize, like, this isn't normal anymore. And I think I just have to touch on that. What is normal? I feel like people that look like other people are just other people. They're not necessarily normal anyways, right? People are not normal and people are not perfect in this world.
Right.
What is that? What does normal mean?
Things have
those same questions. Yeah, things have measures, right? When you measure your lab, when you measure your blood pressure, when you measure these things that fall in parameters, but why are we putting ourselves in brackets?
Mm-hmm. Why are we putting ourselves in a box?
Why?
Yeah.
Why is that society's outlook today? That's not normal. That's weird. Like, why is that a thing? Why is different looked at as not normal and weird? Why can't it be like, she don't look the same as everybody else. And that's cool. That's cool. I like that.
Like, hey, that's her look. She's owning it and she's rocking it. So let her rock it. Rock the ball.
Yeah. I love that.
I agree with my personal journey to what you just said. Yeah. Dealing with that reality of what I thought was normal was no longer normal. But then what really is normal? And a question that's coming up for me, how do we change the verbiage we're using?
Because now it's a matter of maybe we're just not using the right words for what we're going through. One of the things I'm doing now is I'm changing words that I use. So for me, because I'm also making sure that I try to take things from a healthy, authentic approach, instead of calling myself an alopecian, I'm saying I'm walking through an alopecia journey, because I don't want to put a label on me that could lead me into toxic thinking. That's just where I'm at. And I feel I have more peace about it, just changing that up and what I'm going through and living through. So confronting that notion of what is normal, it's like, well, this is just the season I'm in. I'm walking through an alopecia journey right now. I've been told it's going to probably be my entire life, but then I really don't know that. Maybe this season will come to an end, but then maybe it won't. I have no idea. It's really a journey. And this is just one of the threads in the journey that I'm walking right now.
Yeah. And my husband, one of the things that I really liked about my husband when we first started dating was that he said he didn't really understand why people look for looks. And he's like, it's nice to be with somebody that looks good. Yeah. But the problem with that is you might marry somebody that's pretty and stupid, and that changes.
Mm-hmm.
Looks change, skin changes, hair changes. In general, it just changes. We age, and we're not going to look the same that we look now in 20, in 30 years, in 40, you know what I mean? So when you're marrying and making these connections and connecting with people, whether it's relationships or friendships, you know, just be sensitive towards them and the things that you say and how people approach it. And I think that goes back to the whole toxicity thing.
Yeah.
You have to be very transparent with people because it is a thing. Like, we're not going to look the same in 30 years. So keep it real now. Keep it real now. Your head ain't going to look this cute, girl. It's 30 years.
You might have a bit more lines here and here and may go far back.
That might be the day that you might want to wear the wig and do that crossover. But
I get a few more rolls at the base of that skull.
Right. Your forehead, you know, lines is going to start emphasizing. You might need some Botox right here. We'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
These lines on my forehead, this is the trauma of my bullying years, middle school and high school. I got them early.
Yeah. I have the there same lines, except there's a... There's one that has an indentation, and that was because, just like the books say and the stories say, when you grow up, mom tells you not to jump on the bed, and I jumped on the bed, and I went forehead first into the dresser and ended up with, like, I think my mom said 4 or 5 stitches right here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was
like, that's where we started learning, dang, moms are always right. Dadnabbit.
Bro, I said to my girlfriend the other day about the eyebrows when we first started talking. I sent her a picture. I'm in this group with my 4 friends. There's 5 of us. We've been friends for like over 14 years. And
yes, it would be. I have a group of friends that are like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sent them a picture, and I'm like, I wish these eyebrows would figure out what they're doing. Are they coming? They going? What are they doing? And the next message that I sent to them was like, oh my God, I literally sound like my mom.
It's so true. I do think in my life now, and I'm just like, I'm starting to notice that about myself too in like these past recent years. I lost my mom to cancer in 2020.
Oh,
so
sorry. Yeah,
thank you. But I've been noticing in recent years, I'm like, I just did something my mom did. Dagnet.
Yes.
And
yes.
Remembering the years of, I swear I will never be like her.
Yes. Like, I'm not alone. I always felt like I was alone because I would always say, like, I'm never going to be like her. She's controlling and she's this and she's that. And then you do something and you're like,
that's my mother.
I'm literally that woman that I never wanted to be. I'm literally that woman.
Like, oh my gosh, just. One of the things I started doing, and I think it's also because I miss hearing her saying this, but now I'm doing it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm becoming my mother. Whenever she would, like, when she met you for the first time, And you're like, oh, yeah, my husband. Oh, Mira, you have a husband. That I think. Start from the beginning, go through the middle, and come to the end. How did this love story come to be? I have started saying that now. Start from the beginning, go through the middle, and coming to the end. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh. As much as I hate it, I love it, though, because I love that
woman.
Oh, my gosh. I love that woman. She gets on my nerves, but I love that woman.
That was my mama, too. The common compliment my mom and I got was, you guys act more like sisters. I'm like, we're not sisters. That's my mother. There is a line in the sand that if I tiptoe too close, I get the look of death.
Yep. Yep.
And I know, but everything my mom did for me and sacrificed for me, I'm so grateful that I had the mom that I had.
Yeah. Really through the emotions. Yeah. I was feeling that yesterday too, because my dad's birthday was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I just kept thinking how grateful I was to have him still and have the opportunity to do what I did and the experiences that I have had in medical to be there and have that knowledge base to present myself and be there to help advocate for him continuously throughout the journey that we just did together, because 67 is good to see. In his words, he turned 17. But
we add 50 years to that.
I heard someone say recently on another podcast I was listening to, this beautiful husband and wife couple sharing their relationship. She says, what did she say? She says she was, I'm 39 and continuing, something like that. I'm not using the exact words, but she made it known, I'm 39 continuously.
Yeah.
Like that's just, where we're at.
I know I spent one of my good guy friends, his fiance, we were at dinner the other night, and she says, D, I spent, the last 2 or 3 birthdays with you? And she was like, girl, and I ain't never knew how old you were. And I said, that's right, girl, because I'm 25 forever. 25 forever. I said, the year before, we rang in, 25? I said, last year, we rang in 46. This year, we're going to ring in, I don't know, 56, 66. We'll figure it out, but I'm going to be 25.
Yeah, when that gets brought up, I do something else. My mother does. She goes, I'm sorry, that's confidential in Washington. You're not on the clear all list.
Yeah. One of our instructors, he's a younger instructor. He's 28. And somebody said to me the other day, because I had posted on Insta, share when you were 18 or something like that. And one of the other classmates, he saw it and he was like, dang, D, he was like, you really have not aged. And I was like, oh, well, thank you. And then the instructor was like, oh, so how old are you? And I said, boy, don't you know better? You're not never supposed to ask a woman how old she is. Just like you never tell a woman that she looks tired.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. And then when I have I am an only child, but then my two best friends, their children are my niece and nephew. And then you have my niece who has the mouth of a 45-year-old and she's only 7. Titi, why you look so tired?
Oh.
Life be lifing. You'll come for one day.
Looks change. Remember, like Dee's husband said, looks change.
I wanted to share this story earlier because we were talking about how we find the funny with the way we look. So I have 4 beautiful baby cousins that I babysit on occasion, and I had them very recently. And I took them out for pizza. We were going to a restaurant in a town where I live. And as we're driving there, you have the oldest daughter, the second boy, the third boy, and the fourth boy. So 4 kids. And all of a sudden, you hear the second boy say to me, hey, Jen, yeah, what do you need? Do you have a hair tie? And he has long hair. And then the daughter, she starts cracking up and she goes, oh, my gosh, why? Because he has long hair. What? I just need a hair tie. And I came up to a stoplight. I turned to him and I said, what makes you think I would have a hair tie? And then he starts smiling and cracking up, but I'm laughing. And then the two babies, they're under 4. So they just start laughing.
That's great.
I was like, do you want me to stop at Walgreens and get you a hair tie now? I'll be okay. And I looked at his sister. You have an extra one? Yeah. I'll give it to him.
Yeah, my closest girlfriends, they always say that they hate going on girl trips with me because they always forget that I don't have hair and that I'm not going to have the extra things that they might have forgotten. I don't
so
have your
much
hair ties.
Expenses.
Yes. Yes. I don't have your hair ties. I don't have your brushes. I didn't bring a straightener. I don't have a blow dryer.
I don't have a blow dryer. I mean, if there's a blow dryer, I'll use it to warm up my head.
Right. I use it if I have to wash something in the hotel. I'll wash it in the sink and then I'll wring it out and dry it and I'll use the blow dryer.
I recently went to a hotel for a work event. I had to travel into a different location and I was kicking myself because I found a blow dryer. I was like, oh man, I should have said, I have a weird request. Can you please remove the blow dryer out of my room and then just show up and they can see what?
Like, oh no, that's standard. We just leave it in all rooms. Well, I find it really offensive.
I'd say-
Like, is that so funny? Hair?
And then they just put these, like, this woman is just, so, then I walk, he's like, oh,
yeah. Yeah. Which you
I'm going to do that whenever I say it. I said, I'm sorry, can you please remove the blow dryer from my room? I find them very offensive.
That's great. I never really thought about that. I just took it as like, that's the norm. That's the use, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it is. But then I had that realization. Oh, that would have been funny. I should have asked them to remove it. I'll remember that. What's that?
Yeah, it's so funny because my husband, I took Tay, the other alopecia girl that's out here. I took him to go get his haircut. And I walk in there and it's so funny because they know Tay without having a wig. So they're like, as soon as I walk in, they automatically assume like, oh, you're here to see Tay. Can I go stand in her chair one day and just get a haircut and figure it out?
I actually had the thought of just showing up to a men's barbershop. Can you treat my scalp, please?
Right. Can you shave it and massage it and whack?
Treat the skin.
I know there's nothing there, but can you just do that? I love it. I love it when I go to my masseuse and she rubs my scalp. I'm like,
oh my gosh, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Oh,
like one of the things I realized about myself is that whenever that happens for me in my life, being in a relationship, I need my person to touch my head and give love to my head. But yeah, I had that experience where I work in New York City. So I commute into the city and the building we have, the property management department's always doing stuff for the tenants. So they brought in a masseuse. So I signed up for like a 15-minute. And he massaged my head. I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
Wow.
And I said, yeah. You
want to come home with me?
Yeah. Can you just get behind my ears real quick?
Get real good, you know, right up here underneath the scalp where that muscle that runs down the shoulder.
Yes.
That's what I need you to rub.
Like right where the beast. Base of the skull meets the neck, just right there.
Yes, it feels so good. Yeah, that's actually funny that you said that, because it took me a little while to even let people try and touch my head. And still, if you're strange, I won't let that happen in public. I will literally swerve them. So
oh, no, there are boundaries with people.
Yes, yes.
I just don't let one do it. But that, for me, one of the things that I struggle with is when I'm around people I do trust. And here's something I will acknowledge. It's an unspoken thing, but then it never comes up when I think about it afterward, where people that I do trust that I would allow, they don't do it. And I need to remember if I'm even being aware of feeling that, just pausing, going, hey, can you just do me a solid when you're around me? You can touch my head. If you want to kiss my head because we're family, you're my cousin, you're my aunt, you can go ahead and do that. I actually need that. I also feel like it'll help me go into a much deeper level of acceptance.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It took me a while to even let people that I was comfortable with touch my head. And I think it had a lot to do with upbringing, right? The bullying. Mm.
Yeah.
Like when
that's a thing.
Yeah, when I grew up with a lot of boy cousins, and it was me and one of my other girl cousins and a lot of boy cousins. And you know how boys are. They're bullies. They're cruel. They'll do funny things or things that they think is funny. And
yep. And they don't know when to stop, even though you tell them to stop.
Yes. And I hated that. And, you know, they would just do things here and there that led me not to like people in my space, in my bubble. Don't touch me. Don't even touch my arm. Don't touch my head. So it took a little while for me to adjust to that. But yeah, when it just comes so natural and gentle, it's different.
It's very different when, like you just said, that naturalness. Because the thing, too, is you feel the difference. There's a different feeling to when, because let me say this, too. There is one cousin in my family who I don't see very often. But when I do see this cousin, the way he does touch my head, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
You can feel it. Yeah. Because he'll come up to me and grab my head with his two hands and just rub it. And I'm like, what are you doing? Stop. Yeah. No. That doesn't feel good to me. So it's different. There's a difference.
Yeah, there definitely is a difference. And I think that it leads us to be in a very vulnerable position to allow that to even happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm giving you, out of respect, the opportunity to touch me. It's like you walking around in the grocery store and just touching somebody else's hair. They will never.
For no reason.
Yeah, they will never let you do that. And no. Lord forbid, let it be a Black woman, you literally about to get cussed out. So why would you do that to anybody else? This head is my hair and you have to be privileged to touch it. Like,
it's also another level of trust.
Yeah, personal.
It's very personal. It's a level of trust. So the people I allow, it's a very small circle, and it's because I have a certain level of trust with them. Yeah. And I feel safe with them. That's another thing, too. It's people that I feel safe with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. But you're right, though. Even my closest girlfriends, they've never, we'll sit next to each other, you know, damn near thigh to thigh and nothing. Like, they never reach over. They'll never kiss it, touch it, whatever. And I think it's just because we both, or all of us, respect each other mutually. I don't know. They might be weird about it, or maybe never even thought about it. Like I said, they're so used to it, just like I'm so used to it, that when we walk into stores, everybody just forgets that I'm bald. And then we're both processing it at the same time. Like, why is everybody staring at them? Oh, I'm remembering. Like, I forgot for a second. I'm here.
No, that's another thing, too, with walking this journey, is that when we're with people that are used to us and they just see us, they don't see the baldness. They see us, who we are, our character, the way we joke and have fun. That's what they see. They don't see, oh, my gosh, your skin is so shiny. But no, there are moments with my friends, too, where they're like, Jen, why are people looking at us? I'm like, not you.
It's me.
It's all of this. It's all this.
Yeah. Even one of my coworkers that I'm very friendly with, she and I went out to lunch the other day and she was like, I didn't realize how much people look at you. I'm like, yeah, it's something that years ago I had to learn to realize I'm going to get looks.
Yeah.
No escaping it.
Yeah. I have really bad tunnel vision, and I don't know if that's a good thing or that's a bad thing, but I will tell you that I don't even acknowledge it anymore. Like, people are staring. They could literally be gawking at me and I feel it, but I don't respond to it.
No, I'm the same way. I've grown in that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all, because again, it just shows the strength we've had to acknowledge, this is just me. This is where I'm at in my life. And yeah, go ahead and stare, because I can't control you, but then I can control me.
Yeah. Yeah. I always like to tell my husband, every time I get annoyed, I'm like, it doesn't matter how long they stare for 20 minutes, they stare for 5 minutes, 5 seconds. It doesn't matter. My hair is not going to grow within that amount.
There was a shirt I almost purchased that says staring causes baldness. I love that. I almost purchased it, but then I felt conviction. I was like, no, let me not be
so bold. Yeah.
I know.
I'm going to take a different approach.
My husband just bought me a hoodie that says, I'm nicer than my face actually looks.
I love it. I love it. And I wore it to class and everybody was like, oh my God, I love it. Your sweatshirt is so you. And I was like, I know.
I have RBF for sure.
No. Another a thing that I do is I actually have a baseball cap that says bad hair day and actually has a ponytail hole. And I wear that in the spring and summer because of the sun, you know, protecting my skin. Then most of the time I don't do it, but most of the time I was like, I feel like wearing this hat today and letting people see I've had it. I just never have the space for a ponytail. That's what really gets me.
I think I have a beanie that says that on there.
I can't remember.
Nice.
Yeah, that's funny.
I love that.
I love all the silly jokes. I think it's great.
That's hysterical. Bad hair.
Bad hair day. I always have a bad hair day if that's the case.
It's so bad it ran. You've had a hair day. You have a hair. I don't know what happened.
Oh, man. I love that. Yeah.
Well, Dee, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day and just coming off your shit to this conversation. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate you. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. I'm exhausted, but yeah, it's always a good time to catch up and just be with each other and vibe. Like I said, the aura has always been matched with you. And
yeah,
great. Anytime I get to talk to you, I love it.
It's always like this. We have a same vibe, man.
We do. Yeah.